it's nice to have such a...
hot husband.
A different welcome from my husband. Thank you. This morning I want to talk about something that's really, really close to me. Those of you who don't know, don't know my testimony really. I came from an unchurched family. We didn't go to church. We didn't believe in anything much. And at 16, I gave my life to Jesus because somebody bothered to invite me to church and to speak to me about Jesus. And I gave my life... I'm going to get very emotional here, so you have to forgive me. I gave my life to Jesus on Christmas Day, which is really special. So as this season starts to come, and today I'm going to touch a little bit on Christmas, because we can't not, can we? Who's put their tree up already? Okay, we want to, but we're not going to yet. So Christmas brings it all back to me. It wasn't until a year later on Christmas Day that I actually understood what I'd done, and I thought about Jesus coming as a baby and as a man. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. All the Christmas decorations around us. Jesus coming from the throne room of heaven to be a baby and to walk this earth as a man in his humanity. But first of all, I want to talk about superheroes. It's a pity Ben's not here this morning, Sarah, because I think he'd like this bit. So superheroes, really, really popular at the moment. And there we have them. Paul likes Iron Man. And as a little girl, the only superhero on TV was Batman and Robin. What did they call the guy who played Batman? Adam West. So cheesy and so camp, but it was brilliant. But now there's superheroes absolutely everywhere. And I really got to show you a slide that has been on Facebook. My daughter's put this on Facebook. And the caption was, "In a world full of princesses, I'm going to dare to be Batman." And that's me. I wouldn't be a princess. Like Megan, I'd be Batman. I wouldn't be a princess. Wouldn't even be Wonder Woman, I'd be Batman. Now, all these superheroes have superpowers, don't they? So if you had a superpower, what would it be? I'd like to be able to fly, just be able to fly. I'd absolutely love that. What superpower would you have? Any offerings? Invisibility. Invisibility, that's a good one. Oh, yes, brilliant. I'd love that one.
Magic money.
Magic money. Did you hear that? Johnny's got magic money because it disappears all the time. Yeah? So, we often speculate what it'd be like to have amazing abilities and godlike power. I believe in Santa. Yeah? I believe in Santa. Yeah? And he was my superhero when I was a really little girl because he could come down chimneys. We had chimneys in those days. He has a magic key now, apparently. And he used to go the whole way around the whole world and still does, and delivers presents to every single child in the whole world. Now that's a superhero, isn't it? That's a superhero. But have you ever considered what it was like for God to even consider having limited power? Has anybody ever read the book The Shack? I'm talking about the book, not the film, the book. Read it. You really, really need to read it. I cried the whole way through. I was an absolute emotional mess. Some of you have seen the film. I gather the film's really good as well. But it was a really good description for me of the Trinity, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I loved it. I need to read it again yet. But have you ever wondered what it was like for Jesus to leave the throne of heaven to be born as a baby at Christmas time, a human being? And it's time, isn't it, this Christmas time, we start to think about Jesus being born as a baby, about Jesus becoming flesh and blood, coming as a baby and choosing to leave aside some of his power to be a human being. I mean, what must it have been like for Jesus? You know, why would someone who had ultimate power even consider coming to earth in human form? But that's what Jesus was willing to do. And it was for us. And I just find that amazing. And as I've been studying this and looking through this with lots of theological questions for Paul, I think I might have driven him batty this week. I do that anyway. That's nice, isn't it? I thought we'd have a look in Hebrews. You know how much I love Hebrews, but sorry, what picture? Which one? Oh yes, sorry. Sorry, yeah. This is 150 AD picture of Jesus, the man, found in the catacombs in Rome. He's a young man because he hasn't got a beard. I find it interesting that he's got a sheep. We always think of Jesus the carpenter, but his family would have owned animals. He would have looked after the animals. A shepherd, yeah. I suppose it's a symbol, isn't it, of Jesus being the good shepherd. But I find that amazing that all those hundreds of years ago, somebody took the time to put that on the walls of the catacombs. But let's have a look at Hebrews 2:9-10 to begin with. You know these verses. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting, I like that phrase, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. And then if we go to verse 14 and 15, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And remember, we are Abraham. If you love Jesus and you follow him, you are a descendant of Abraham. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So Jesus comes, is born as a baby. He lives the life, the human life, as a human being. I think those verses are amazing. Have you ever watched a programme? It comes from the States, called, I think in Britain they made a version of it, called Undercover Boss? Yeah? Yeah? So it was usually some guy who was a CEO of some company, incredibly wealthy, nice car, fancy house, you know, makes lots of money. And he goes into one of his company setups. You know, it could have been KFC or McDonald's or something like that. And he pretends, he doesn't tell anybody that he's the CEO, and he pretends to go and get a job, and he talks to various people, and he gets a glimpse, he gets an idea for a short while about the culture of the company and how things are working or not working. Brilliant program, I really like it. And at the end of the program, he reveals who he is, and usually the CEO helps the little people, I think you would call them, the people who give you your burger over the serving hatch of McDonald's, etc. And he helps them in some way. He finds out about their lives, and he finds out about their stories. And he helps them, and he realises there are things within the culture of the company that need putting right. In a way, that's sort of what Jesus did, except he didn't just leave the boardroom. He didn't just leave the boardroom. He left the throne room of heaven, you know, and that's the place where the angels worship him. You know, it's the place where he rules over the entire universe. And he left that place for us. There's an old hymn I used to sing when I first became a Christian, called "And Can It Be?" And one of the lines in that is, "He emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race." Great theology in some of those hymns. Whether people understood it exactly, I don't know. But he emptied himself of everything but love and died. Now, those of you who've had children or got young children, imagine the God of the universe having to go through potty training and puberty. Oh, gosh. You know, imagine the first time he scraped his knee and bled. Imagine him crying for the first time. He wasn't born as an adult person. He was born as a baby, and all that that entails. I'll remind you of Hebrews 2:10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. But he was a perfect baby, Naomi. Yeah, I think he probably cried and got on his mum's nerves a bit when he cried. But he was without sin. We know that, don't we, that he was without sin. So Jesus purposely, willingly limited his own power and took a status beneath the angels, but only for a time. Where is he now? Yeah, at the right hand of the Father, in his rightful place, enthroned in heaven. That's where he is now. In his heavenly form, Jesus never really could experience human suffering as a human being. He saw suffering as a concept, if you like, but not as a reality. And Jesus needed to come to earth and experience all of that. So he was willing to be a human being, and he was willing to suffer. So what did he experience as a human being? emotions, both joy and sadness. We get this portrayal, don't we? The Robert Powell one, for instance, on films and TV. I always think it's a pretty solemn Jesus. And I think Jesus was full of joy. I think he had a sense of humour. You know, I think he made the disciples laugh. I think he played games with them. I don't think he was this my cup's half empty person. I think he was this my cup's full and overflowing person. Although he did experience all those emotions. He did experience sadness, we do know that. Lack of sleep. There are times in the Bible it says he has nowhere to lay his head, he doesn't sleep. The biggie, temptation in the wilderness. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, take Father, take this away from me. I don't want to do this. I really, really don't want to do this. Can you please take it away from me? But then he has to say, "But not my will, but yours." And he went and he faced death on a cross because he knew he had to. But don't think he went to it willingly. He really had to pray, and it says he shed drops of blood. He sweated drops of blood. So he also experienced physical pain because he died a death most of us will never experience. His suffering, his humanity, his decision to become like us, coming to the world as a baby, makes him the perfect saviour. I'm going to get quite emotional now, but a year after I became a Christian, for the first time, I understood that Jesus walks with me in everything that I go through, whether it's joyful, whether it's sad. He walks with you through everything in life because he's experienced it. You know, God, in his love for us, sent Jesus to experience a human life so that he can walk with us in it. So whatever you're feeling, whatever's going on in your life today, know that Jesus walks with you. When I went through a really difficult time with insomnia and not being able to sleep, you know, God said to me, "I'm walking with you in that. I know what that's like." Jesus knew what that was like, not to be able to sleep. And he's walking with you in it, and I just find that absolutely amazing. He was willing to experience what we experience so that he could be an advocate. You know, he put himself in a position where he could go to the Father and say, you know, I love these people. You know, I'm going to walk with them in it. So that God would understand how it was to live as a human person in a fallen world. Because the world then was as fallen as it is now. So God walked among us, allowed himself to have the human experience, no holds barred. And he showed us how to live a life given to God. So here's a bit of a challenge. Yes, he walks with us through the joyful, the sad, the difficult. But there, he also expressed through his life how he wants us to live. He was baptized. Didn't really need to be baptized. He was the Son of God, but he was baptized. So if you haven't been baptized, you know what? Jesus says be baptized. He was baptized. So let's get baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And we've talked a lot in recent weeks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. The other week, Sue talked about baptism in the Spirit. Jesus needed to be filled with the Spirit in order to carry on his, you know, the next 3 years of his ministry. How much more do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what that is, come and ask me or Paul or anybody else. He was gifted. I believe he was a gifted speaker. I believe, and I think Scripture tells us, that he commanded the attention of people. You know, he was a really gifted speaker. But despite his gifts, he washed the disciples' feet. He served. He didn't think it was beneath him to wash the disciples' feet. And there's a challenge in that for us, isn't there? That we can be really gifted. We've got such incredibly gifted people in this place. But God wants us to serve and be a servant, and he wants us to wash feet. So, you know, you guys who were here all day yesterday, you washed feet. You served. And that was brilliant. But what sort of things did he suffer? Well, his family doubted him. His friends abandoned him. He was rejected by the people he came to save. He was mocked. He was framed in unjust and illegal trials. His reputation was taken away from him. He was beaten, whipped, tortured, crucified for us. Why would Jesus sign up for this sort of humiliation? You know, why would he come and limit himself knowing what he'd face? You know, why would the Creator allow his creation to kill him? Because that's what happened. And there's only one explanation that makes any sense, and that's love. For God so loved the world, he sent his Son to die. Whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. He came to fulfill the law. And the law was that sacrifice had to be made for sin. And Jesus was that sacrifice. He fulfilled the law. He loves us so much that he was willing to do anything, even die death on a cross. And because he was in human form, he came in human form, he was able to relate to us in a new way as brothers and sisters. And we had those verses in Hebrews, didn't we? So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters because of his humanity. And Hebrews 2, I'm going to go from verse 14, says this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. We talked about chains being broken earlier. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Has anybody experienced being tempted? Yeah. It's a human thing, isn't it? We are tempted every day to walk our own path and not to walk Jesus' path. And Jesus knows what that is like. He was in the wilderness, remember, 40 days without food, so he was hungry. He knew what hunger was too. But he knew what it was like to be tempted. So the King of the universe calls us brothers and sisters, The one with all power invites the powerless to become family. So the one with all power invites the powerless to become family. And we're the family of God. How amazing is that? And we're powerless, except when, you know, Jesus fills us with his Holy Spirit. We're powerful. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. My mind can't quite understand that, but I believe that. 100% God, 100% man. And he can help us because he knows what we've been through and what we go through on a daily basis, that he did it without sinning. He was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. But he understands the temptations. To finish, I'm going to, again, it's Hebrews, my favourite verses, Hebrews 4:14. I love these verses. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If the musicians could come up, that would be great. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I really believe this morning God is speaking to two sorts of people. Okay? One are people who are Christians but have let God down in their lives. They've given in to temptation. They're feeling unworthy. Well, you know, God wants to deal with your unworthiness this morning, because he died on a cross to deal with that. And in a minute I'm going to ask people to come forward. So if this morning you're a Christian and you feel unworthy, and you want to receive God's forgiveness, you want to receive God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, please come forward this morning. But there might be people here who don't know, as I didn't know at 16, who Jesus really was, what he really did, and the significance of that. Then I would ask you to come forward as well, and somebody will pray with you. And let's pray that this morning you become a Christian, that you know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to, if everybody could stand up, that would be great. And the band are going to lead us in one of my favourite songs at the moment. Talk about Jesus' name. Beautiful, wonderful, powerful. Why is he beautiful, wonderful and powerful? He came and died for us as a human being, as a man, as a baby at Christmas time. So as we singing this, Can I urge you to get yourself right with God this morning? We all need to do that now and again. Get yourself right with God, because he's got so much he wants to do in you and through you. You are necessary. You're a necessary, important part of the kingdom of God. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal saviour, please come forward. Somebody will pray with you. But you know, you were the word at the beginning, this song starts. One with God, the Lord Most High, but he came to earth because he loves us.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Nothing compares to this.